The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
And joining us today, this is very exciting, very special guest, beloved J-pop hologram pop star, Hatsune Miku.
I'm Hatsune Miku.
Hatsune Miku, thank you for being here. I feel like your holographic nature is maybe lost based on the nature of our visual medium, but can you in fact confirm for us that you are a projected light specter?
I am being projected onto the
What in the whole shit?
Claw.
Griffin?
It's me, Hatsune Miku, Griffin? Fresh from my performance on the David Letterman program. So happy to be here.
Is this your speech? Okay, I've only heard your Vocaloid singing performances. Is this just your speaking voice? Can you confirm that for me, hologram, now?
Yes, this is how I talk,
and this is how I sing.
Griffin, can I talk with you over here for a moment?
Yes.
Go ahead about your business.
Hatsune, you sit down. I made you some oolong that you just absolutely can enjoy because you're all light. I'm going to have a sidebar with my brother here. What's up, Trev?
Griffin, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, Hatsune Miku.
I miss one pre-production meeting.
You missed one very important, momentous episode of the David Letterman late night television program, and you don't have any cultural touchstones anymore. Hatsune, I am so sorry to bother you. I don't know how you're drinking that, but I also don't know how you're being
so... I'm just making a puddle. It's just a puddle on the floor.
Okay.
Where's Justin?
I am using him as my corporeal projector.
Oh, shit.
I'm a hologram based on a Vocaloid. It's real confusing for you gaijins, but...
Not for me. I just want to say up front that I'm a big, big, big fan.
Yeah, but I have to have a human to project my spectral pop star form. Mm-hmm. So I basically just rigged him up as a projector.
And then after you leave your frame... That person dies in 15 minutes.
He will be dead in 15 minutes.
That's a bummer.
It's real sad.
It's really hard to frame this question without being rude. Are you sick?
What?
I'm just...
Yeah, well, I got the clap.
No, I meant... Oh, Jesus. I meant like you're... Do you have a laryngitic illness?
I am a computer program.
Okay. So you have a virus.
You're next. I just picked my next.
Oh
protector.
Shit! Great, good
coming
work.
For you. Seen that movie Annabelle? Mm-hmm. I'm like that.
It's not like
except
that.
The hologram.
Sure. Quick question. How was it? Because obviously, just sort of looking at David Letterman's flop sweats the entire time that you were doing your shits up there, he did not seem especially comfortable with the arrangement. I think the only thing he said afterwards was, there she is, which is arguably the most uncomfortable thing.
He announced his retirement, and I think upon seeing me, there was a very clear moment where he realized I've stayed too long.
Yeah.
I am at that point where I'm introducing a hologram. Sure. I've stayed too long.
He walked out of the studio and immediately threw himself into a tar pit. Just like, I'm ready now.
I'm done.
Was it uncomfortable for you?
I'm literally just a computer program.
Yeah.
Nothing is uncomfortable for me. So, no, I had a fine time. They had some great treats in the green room.
Like EXEs?
Yeah, there were EXEs.
Delicious executables? Okay.
Delicious
what
executables.
What the fuck is going on?
I just wish that you paid closer attention to pop culture.
I pay attention to life, Griffin.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm going to release this guy.
Okay.
I got a show in Cleveland. I got to plug in and add juice up for. Oh, man, that was good soup.
How are you eating soup?
I'm just puddling it. It makes me gassy.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for inhabiting and then killing Paul Schaefer. It was a real joy to have you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Where's my ride?
Oh, it's right here. I have a torrent waiting for you.
Into the music, Versailles.
Justin, you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I thought I would die.
Yeah.
But I didn't, so that's good.
It is good. You missed probably our best bit ever, though, so that's
certainly the one that has engaged Travis the most. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, Trav, you should have said when we were pitching this, when we were like, we're going to make all kinds of really great Hatsune Miku jokes.
Normally what one does in like the comedy structure is take on the role of the know-nothing who asks to be educated about the thing. Maybe you've seen Who's On First, where one guy knows about the thing and the other guy asks questions about the thing and is confused about the thing. Travis has decided to take a different approach where he just opens up the silence fire hose and pumps it right into his mic.
Well, I didn't realize I was supposed to be the know-nothing. I thought I was the say-nothing. Yeah. So I went with that.
Sure. You represent the flyover states regarding Hatsune Miku.
I also was checking Twitter, so...
God damn it!
When people give birthday, Christmas, Valentine cards and such, when is it okay to throw them away? We all know the cards will get thrown away eventually. Should we throw them away in front of the giver after searching it for cash? Or perhaps just cross the name out and regift it as an eco-friendly gesture? That's from Hoarding Hallmark.
I was thinking about this the other day because we moved and we brought a bunch of cards with us. Some from like,
why?
Well, some were like from our wedding, and some like I found a couple birthday cards from like grandparents and shit. And my question was, it seems like a thing. Like I remember growing up, we had that like box of Christmas cards that like came out every year and just got added to and added to. Did people like used to save these things forever? Like it just end up with boxes and boxes of Hallmarks.
Yeah, I think so. I think when it was used as like the way you kept in touch with people, it was a lot more important to save them. I have a pretty strict rule now where I will hold on to it for 1 week for every word that has been written on the card. So if it's very like it's a very sweet card that someone is taking the time to write a very personalized message in, I'll save it for longer. If it's just like B-Day, crushed it, love Nani. Then I don't feel the need to keep that for more than a month or so.
I think if you got a card from Arnani that said B-Day, crushed it, you would fucking take that to the grave.
Yeah, that's probably true. It has to be buried with it like a pharaoh.
I want...
It would be my payment to Styx across the river Styx.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
This is hilarious.
Nani wrote this?
You know, Teresa and I debated this a little while, but I think that any kind of greeting card, anything like that, is such a fucking waste. Waste of money, waste of resources, waste of time. Like, it's especially when you're giving another present and a card, it seems so redundant. And so, like, they know it's from you because your name's on the tag. They know it's their birthday and you're wishing them a happy birthday because you're already giving them a present. Why do I also have to get someone a card?
I really think that we are going to... I think a lot of people feel that way, Travis. And I feel like... we're going to have one moment like in Pleasantville where one person realizes, hey, I hate this. Mm. I hate getting these and I hate buying these. And it's just going to explode virally. Like all of a sudden everyone will say, oh, thank God. Me too. I thought you liked it.
The process is terrible. Like you go and you're looking at cards and you're trying to think like, okay, what in like two pages is going to sum up my relationship with this person, what I think about them and what I think about myself. It's such like a weirdly like introspective kind of thing of like, what does this card say about me when I give it to this person?
But there are so many ways that cards can intensify the pleasure of a present. They're present lube.
there is but one way, and that is ironically.
No, it doesn't have to be. You can't look at life through the veil of irony, or else you're going to miss so many great things. Like fucking...
Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, you motherfucker. I've tried so hard to not tweet your shit on Spotify. It's all he listens to anymore. But you open up a card, and you're like, ah, fuck it. Another time for another card. It's just another... you know, short poem about what a special grandson I am. And then you open it up, and what is it? Oh, no, it's The Far Side. And then you get a great little Gary Larson nugget of comedy in there before you open your present. It's an aperitif. It's an amuse-bouche that cleanses the palate, and then you open it up. What's in there? It's a bop-it, the great kind of bop-it with, like, five different commands on it. And that's it's better because of The Far Side.
For my money, there has only ever been one good card. I've given it to probably a dozen people. I buy stacks of it whenever I can find it, and you can't find it anymore, but it's a picture of a dad and two daughters, and the dad and one of the daughters have signs that say happy birthday, and the second daughter has a sign that says I like corn on the cob.
See,
and on that, the inside, oh, it says please disregard Stephanie.
That's see, that's good shit.
It's the best card.
That's primo. And you know what? That puts you in a mood, doesn't it? I get that card and I'm in a mood.
Feels saucy.
And now I'm ready to receive. And then I get the gift. Ah, fuck yeah.
It's a gift fluffer.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying. I think that, like, you got to hold on to cards because I think there are fewer, more pure and blissful forms of comedy on this planet than recycling cards that you got for someone, like, say, an ex-girlfriend's parents for your birthday, and then you recycle that, and then all of a sudden you're wishing your brother happy anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing stuff. That's really, really good stuff.
Yeah, our dad taught us that gag, and I think I still... It is always actually my instinct to buy the card that would be the least appropriate for the occasion.
As sort of like a built-in punchline.
Yeah. And it's
what?
Like a...
What?
It's like a fun, like, mystery that you have to unravel of, like, what was the original context of this card? Justin, you got an anniversary card from me by way of Doval, my ex-girlfriend's dad. And then you had to remember who that was and why I would ever know a person named Doval. And now you're in there, like, now you've cracked it. Good work.
Thanks. I feel like I solved it. But do we keep them? That's the thing.
Yes, for that express purpose.
If they're a grand slam and you have a lot of good memories, you keep them. But I think if you're not attached to it in any way, it was clearly a formality from the person, like, you trash it.
Yeah, I think that, like, a healthy buffer of, like, 2 weeks, because here's what you do. You get the card, you put it on your mantle, it sits there for, like, a week,
I don't even do that. Garbage. That's crazy.
I think you only have to do that if it was a card-only occasion. If they give you a card and a gift, you can trash the card as soon as the party's over. Because you have the gift to display to say, like, I care about the thing you gave me. But, like, if all they gave you was, like, a card expressing, like, how proud of you they are and, like, a check, you can't display the check.
I wish there was some sort of resale environment.
Right.
For greeting cards. I think there's a secondhand market that exists out there, especially now that I've established that it's the fucking funniest thing ever. Like, traditional cards just don't cut it.
I wish I could get a pre-used card.
That's what I'm saying.
Store.
A lightly used, or fuck it. I want a never-ending tome of greeting cards. A card that is like, has been reused 50 times over, and it's been somebody's birthday card, and somebody's bat mitzvah card, and somebody's bris card.
So let me throw this out. Like, oh, sorry. So how about this?
No,
like,
you said it, and it's in the episode forever now.
Then you know what? I want to lean into it. Let me throw this out.
Let me. That's your fucking DJ Cool. Let me clear my throat.
Go to the library. Check out a birthday card. You open the front. You see where all the dates are stamped, right, and the names are signed. You check out the birthday card for someone's birthday and make sure you say, "I am going to need that back. I've got to return it in 2 weeks."
It's 45 cents a day that it goes past. So I need you to get this back. But happy birthday. I mean it. I love you. You're my most special grandpa. But fucking, if you don't get this back to the library, I'm coming for your ass.
I think the recipient has to return it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's the only thing that can
and
make
here's an
better.
Errand for you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. I got you a chore.
My friend started a comic book store in our small town a little over a year ago. He plans to go out of business soon.
Nobody plans to go out of business.
Nobody plans to go out of business.
He expects to go out of business soon.
Let's see. February's looking pretty good for everything I own to come crashing down around me. What's the etiquette for the death of a friend's dream? Do I send him a card?
Yes.
If it makes any difference. He is not into hugs. And that's from Morning Miss Marvel in Logan. Oh, seems like some sort of Wolverine tie-in could have been appropriate there, but who knows? I'm no expert. And I'm sorry about Miss Marvel. I'm sorry about your friend's dream.
But, and I hate to be this way after receiving this bad news, but this is what happens when you don't get money zone spots.
Right. We could have blown that.
We could have fucking helped out.
God, wait a minute. You should be careful. Maybe we did. I don't remember all of them.
This strikes me as like one of those moments in like a movie or a TV show where what happens is on like the night before it gets turned over to the bank or whatever, you just go in with like a six pack of beers and you and your friends have montage remembrances of all the good times you had in the comic book store.
Or fucking UHF. Fucking pledge drive, last minute, last chance. You gotta be careful. Oh my God, you gotta be so careful that you do a UHF and not a Be Kind Rewind. That's true. Yeah.
That's very key.
Hey, Be Kind Rewind, thanks for being an adorable and funny movie that ends with like the crushing acceptance that bad things often happen and cannot be changed.
Jeez, spoilers.
Yeah, really. Let's go back to UHF. See, they buy stocks in UHF, you see, shares. And then at the end, they're not going to make it. And there's a homeless gentleman who had been given a nickel, a special nickel that he sold for a bunch of money. And he comes in and saves the day at the end.
And that's
Thank you for giving a rundown of UHF.
And he also bought himself this neat watch.
That was really good. Place.
Thank you.
Now, this will only work if there's a big corporate comic book store in town that has been putting him out of business.
Globo Comic, we'll call them.
I hate to hear this first off. Like, this is very sad. What I would try to urge you to have your friend focus on is that while the comic book store may not have thrived, the dream was fulfilled. I mean, so many people walk around thinking, you know, I'd love to do this. I'd love to have a comic book store. I'd love to have, you know, a bar that I own. I'd love to have a hit comedy podcast with my two brothers. People have these dreams and they just carry them around and never live them out. Your friend did it. I mean, they started a comic book store. They owned it. They worked there. It was their baby. I mean, they did it. You know, just because it ends doesn't mean that they didn't, you know, get to live their dream. And that's a lot further than a lot of people get.
Let me ask you guys this. How does it change this situation and how this person should react to it? Because it's one of two things. Either the comic book store is closing because, you know, the economy, or maybe it's in a bad location, or because everyone's going digital and no one's, like, buying comic books anymore. Or B, who the friend running this store just ran it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's free Comic Wednesday, by which I mean everything's free. Come and get it.
You know what I mean?
I pay Stan Lee to run the store on the weekends.
How do you react different? You know what I mean? Like, because if it's the economy, I feel like that's so much easier because, like, then you have that, like, grumbling, like, oh, man, it was the deck was stacked against you. Ugh. Maybe in 10 years, but right now, but then when you know your friend, like, oh, you were doing that, like, buy one, get six free deal to try to get people in the door, and you ruined it. Mm. Like, how do you comfort that friend?
I think you have to blame the economy no matter what. Never admit this friend's failure. The time for that conversation was roughly 6 months ago.
The time for that conversation was when he decided to let the giant hungry goat sleep in his comic book store overnight. That was before that happened was the ideal time to say, hey, maybe you should have a strict no goat policy for this establishment. A lot of edibles.
I hate to hear this.
I hate to hear it too. You know, I mean, is it too late to save it by doing what my local comic book store did, well, not did, it just sort of had this in its DNA from the beginning, in that they sell comics, but they also sell board games and fucking Magic cards and D&D minis, and they rent out table space for people to play D&D. I feel like a lot of comic book stores have gone that direction, where it's just like a honeypot for like seven kinds of nerds.
It's like a full hobby shop.
Right, and you get them in there, and they're like, I don't know, I just kind of want to play some Pokemon cards. They're like, cool, cool, cool. Have you read the new Hawkeye? What's a Hawkeye? What's reading? And they say, I've got a lot of things for you.
There's a guy who's a hawk.
There's a guy who's a hawk. He's a pretty cool guy. That no joke, that's actually why I started reading comics.
Because you were just there playing Pokemon?
I was there. Well, I wasn't playing Pokemon. I was filling in the gaps of my collection.
For you, it's more art. It's more like you're painting.
I appreciate the
dance. The art of the dance.
I appreciate seeing how the artist of the card has realized Electabuzz in his native environment. There's the Electabuzz card is beautiful. It's on acrylic. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Please, anything.
This Yahoo was sent in by level 44,000 Yahoo Shaman Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew Davenport. It's by Yahoo Drew Answers user Jim, who asks, how to package hummus for trick-or-treaters.
No.
I'm handing out homemade hummus this Halloween and want to ensure it stays fresh and doesn't spill in the bags of trick-or-treaters. What is the best small, inexpensive container I can use?
Garbage can.
Just hand each of them free thrown away hummus.
I know what you're doing with this when you get home. The thing that I imagined was like, do you guys use those dishwasher packs of detergent? I imagine that just like filled with hummus, but I want it to be like super pressurized. So like when you puncture it at all, it's just like an jet ocean of hummus. Just starts spraying out.
So I haven't, I'm a 30-year-old man. I have not trick-or-treated in many years. But I wonder if parents have become more or less like, we have to check your candy and go through your stuff before you can eat any of it. Or if now it's just like, fuck it, I don't care.
In this, the dawning of the age of Etsy, fucking everyone's got to be crazy about homemade goods. You made cake. Yeah, right? What'd you get? Well, I got 2 bit of honeys. I got 1 fun size Snickers and like 8,000 cake pops.
Yeah. And so, like, our parents are like, well, you can have those 3 things. And I guess I got to garbage the rest of this.
No. No, I think parents are down. I don't think nobody puts fucking razor blades in pineapples.
That candy stuff, like, is the most. Like, there is. Such a like bad and good side of humanity. It's like there's one night where kids can just go door to door and their neighbors in like the spirit of community open their doors and give the kids free candy. There has to be one person who's like, but what if one sicko wants to poison it and they want to poison a bunch of kids? Like, listen, it's not hard to poison kids. If you're looking for an opportunity to do that, they kids will eat anything, okay? Yeah. You don't have to make a big show of it. Like, you could be, I imagine if I was like, I'm so horny to poison kids, I would probably get a job as someone who works in a cafeteria.
Sure.
Like, that would be the gig for that person. They wouldn't, like, set a trap and wait and, like, hand poison everything. I think they'd just dump something into oatmeal and say, best of luck.
You know, I'm really going to make an evening out of killing these kids.
Sure.
Yeah, like, don't make a big production out of it.
Somebody, Yahoo Answers user Starfish LTD said, Ziploc baggies, but as you've been told, homemade treats get thrown out. If you put your name and address on an accompanying card, they may keep it. Oh, this is Bryce Hummus? This is Bryce Hummus at 2101 Oakshire? Oh, man. You got it. Yeah. No, this one
is. This is some artisanal hummus.
This is you're a fucking little kid. You wouldn't appreciate the work that went into these chickpeas.
Wait, that's an even bigger question, Griffin. What little kid is like, I got a fun size Snicker. I got some hummus.
Oh, a gross bag of hummus.
Mom, yes, some cut loose up those hummus in my bag. Yes,
cut up those please. Green peppers, Mom.
We are having a night.
Have some friends over. I've got Nosh covered.
Do you remember when we used to play poker with our Halloween candy? What is the fucking exchange rate of a fucking dime bag of hummus?
The hummus works to lower the price. Like, all I've got is this full-size Snickers. Okay, wait. And hummus. So then it's like half of a candy bar.
You can always tell when Teddy KGB goes for a second dip into the hummus that he's bluffing.
Do not splash the hummus.
He's my... Lash the hummus whenever I want.
Oh, fuck me.
Use a Manny's chickpeas.
As an adult kid, just give him a fucking Milky Way. What's the matter with you? Like, it's what Halloween is for. Kids look at, it's almost like, I remember there was a person on our block that just would, like, reach into a bowl of change and just, like, dump, like, six pennies and a nickel into your bag.
Oh, yeah.
And it was as though his hand was saying, and fuck you.
Uh-huh.
And here's 11 cents. Like, okay, great. I'll just throw this away later.
How sad. I'm sorry. It's like all I can think about is that Halloween episode of Freaks and Geeks. How sad is that episode of Freaks and Geeks where the mom makes all the cookies and, like, none of the parents will take the cookies and then Linda Cardinale throws eggs at her brother? Fuck. Freaks and Geeks. You brought me down and I haven't watched you in months.
I've never even seen the show.
Watch the Halloween Pete and Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a good one. Did you just say you've never seen fucking Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This has been our Halloween recap episode of My Brother and Me, where we go through some of the classic Halloween eps. I have a kid. I want to tell you guys this. This is not a question or anything. I'm just sort of like going off script. I have a kid now, and she wakes up
what?
Early. I know. Did you guys know that at 7:15 a.m. every morning, Cartoon Network shows Check It Out with Steve Brule, but at 7 o'clock every morning, they show a special called Fart Copter. Did you know that?
That's their fucking, like, here's color the bars and beep.
That's the color bars is not, and I thought it was a series because it's about a kid selling a helicopter toy that makes fart noises, and it's like the best toy, and kids are so violent that it's the only thing that will distract them from violence is Fart Copter. And I watched it the first time, I was like, this is amazing that this is a series, but no, it's a 15-minute special called Fart Copter that they show every day. It's baffling to me.
It sounds a lot to me like Thunderpants. It sounds a lot to me like Thunderpants, the movie. Do you guys know about Thunderpants? I always saw it on the shelves in Blockbuster, and it's sort of like my that book that Desmond from Lost like only wanted to read right before he died. Thunderpants is like my swan song, and it has Rupert Grint in it. I'm looking at the IMDb. Fuck me. It's got Ned Beatty. It's got Paul Giamatti. It's got Stephen Fry in it and Rupert Grint from the Harry Potter films. And here's the description. An 11-year-old boy's amazing ability to break wind leaps him first to fame and then to death row before it helps him fulfill his ambition of becoming an astronaut.
What?
Stephen Fry. Cool stuff, man. Hey, Ned Beatty, how's your whole thing?
Is Ned Beatty related to Ned Beatty?
No, Ned Beatty is like, IMDb, we have to talk about your descriptions. Ned Beatty, stocky, genial-looking supporting actor who was born and raised in Louisville. Fuck off!
He wrote that himself.
Bad actor.
Anyway, fart movies. What were we talking about?
Who fart knows? Movies. We weren't actually talking about anything. How about another question? I recently moved to a town that has a reputation for being kind of dangerous. More often times than not, I find myself on the other end of some aggressive stares from rough-looking individuals. I'm an Asian male, and as such, direct eye contact isn't my area of expertise. Coming out on top of a staring contest, even less so. With that in mind, what are some things I can do to wig out people who try to stare me down? That's from Glaring Gladiator in Gilroy.
I have to know what Gilroy is.
Apparently it's like Badlands.
Yeah.
It's in California.
Okay.
I will say that I guess the confusing thing about this question to me is if your area is known for being kind of dangerous, maybe wigging out people is not a good idea.
I bet, look at this guy over here. I bet it would take one push. One solitary push to get this nut off his rocker. Let's try it.
And watch what happens when I do this.
Let's dance. You won't use that gun, pussy. Guaranteed. Let's dance.
I mean, maybe you guys... Dance. Yeah, I mean, I might just have Bowie on the brain, but can you dress up like Jareth from The Labyrinth? and just walk around all day fucking swirling a crystal ball of wishes.
There is nothing that would be more intimidating than someone staring you in the eye and you're like, I could beat this guy. I could take this Jareth looking motherfucker. And then he starts contact juggling with the magic of Fushigi.
And walking up the side of a wall. You're like, well, fuck me.
Well, okay, maybe not. Now I'm wigged out. Now I've been wigged.
No. I got to go home and rethink some things.
I thought I was the weirdest guy on this block. Look at this guy crawling up holding a baby.
He put me in an oubliette.
I'm in an oubliette.
I've never been in an oubliette. There's a whole new thing for me.
I thought I was cool dressing like 1970s Bowie.
I have to move out of this fucking town. It's too dangerous here. I'm in an oubliette.
There was this song that he started singing, and I sang it with him about a babe and how I reminded him of it, and the song didn't stop. We couldn't stop singing it because it didn't have an end. It was horrifying.
I walked 15 blocks to the train station, he put me in an oubliette, and then all of a sudden I'm back in my house. I have to start all over again.
Sucks.
This sucks. Jareth, you're the worst. Got me walking in circles, buddy.
I'm wigged out now. I'm officially wigged.
I'm real wigged. Oh, man. Where's my baby?
I'm going to swear I had a baby.
I had a baby like a minute ago.
Can you listen to this? I solved the problem. Good news, guys. I solved the problem. When you get close to the person and you're staring them down, hand them a chick track. Say, hi, I want to take you through the Romans Road. Do you know what happens to you when you die? Come back. Wait.
You might not realize this, but something you're probably doing is witchcraft.
You know that Ouija board you're carrying with you? Did you know that the devil lives inside of it?
Oh, you don't have
Can I just have a moment of your time?
You don't have a Ouija? Do you play D&D? No? Shit.
Do you listen to Iggy Azalea?
Do you like Kesha? Okay. We found it.
There's our inn. That, or the devil's inn, that I guess I should say.
That dollar sign in her name stands for Satan.
Speaking of dollar signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we found it.
Two words for you guys. Hungry boy.
Okay.
Those okay. Are the
Have
two.
You checked out hungryboy.com? It's exactly what it sounds like.
Hungry boy. Good news.
Are you a hungry boy?
Uh-oh, are we getting an on-air demonstration of how to eat?
I got a solution for this hungry boy.
Whoa, slow down. Step by step this.
That's nurturebox.com.
Nurturebox? That Nature is what you
box.
Said.
No, they hate Nurturebox. Yeah. Two of them are always at odds. Nurture Box is just pictures of moms hugging kids. You don't want that one. You want Nature Box. They got delicious, wholesome snacks at naturebox.com delivered to you.
Do you know what's they're better delicious, than delicious and wholesome?
What?
Free.
Whoa. What? I'm picking up what you're laying down. Hey, how am I going to get some free snacks? I want some free baked sweet potato fries or dark cocoa almonds.
Would you like some free Dutch chocolate Sun Crunch?
That's amazing. I want. There's no way that's healthy.
It is. Oh, and right now in October, and I don't know how long they'll have this, but pumpkin nom noms, pumpkin spice nom noms, they're incredible. They're incredible.
We say this shit every week. I don't understand the fucking physical, chemical, natural makeup of what a fucking nom nom is. We say this, we say those words every week, and I don't.
I've eaten them, and I still don't understand their dark sorcery.
So you know how you have like a nom, right?
No.
Yeah, you know, like a nom, like you get a nom off of a nom bush, right? And then you just kind of jam two of them together, and you put some pumpkin spice in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's so good.
It's delicious. These snacks are free. If you go to naturebox.com/my brother, you can get a free trial. They'll send you a trial box of five of the most popular snacks. If you work for NatureBox and you're listening to this, maybe send me some of those pumpkin nom noms and some other stuff with no added sugar. I'm trying to get tiny. Help me out. naturebox.com/my brother is where you can get your free trial of delicious snacks.
So if you do not do it, you're a fool.
You're a fool.
We have people every week who are like, I finally did it on Twitter. We see them.
Do you want a fucking ribbon? You got free delicious food. Great
now,
job.
Congratulations.
Now that it's free, if 100% of our listeners aren't doing it, I don't know what's going on. Like, we're giving you a gift of a free box of Stangs. Just take our gift. Take our damn gift.
You take
embarrassing us.
You take fucking so much from us already. Don't pick and choose the lifeblood that you drain out of us. We're giving you food. Eat.
We are your three-headed giving tree.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're just a stump, you're going to sit on us.
Mm-hmm. We also have three butts. That's not important to this story.
Why would you need to specify that?
I'm just trying to clarify the mental picture.
The original giving tree didn't have one butt, Travis.
Wait. How do you know that, Griffin?
Because I asked the author.
Take a second to think about the fact that the giving tree had a butt.
I have read every piece of giving tree / fiction that exists. Oh, that probably exists, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. The giving and taking tree.
Hachi machi.
Hulu.
Yep.
Okay, Trav, you did some weird some weird copy pasta here, my friend.
Oh man, I am reading some giving tree / fiction. Okay. It is all stump knots and bumps and dents. It is all sap and ruination. No. Turn it off. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Can you give us a slice, or just a sample?
Isn't it better just to know how it's affecting me?
Let Griffin take this hit. No need to ruin it for all of us.
No. This is illegal.
Griffin is absorbing all of this like John Coffey from the Green Mile.
Leave the lights on! Fuck me!
So you've tried Hulu.
Oh my god, and it ends with... Okay, it's extremely explicit. And it ends... But it ends the way I think the book should end. This is the last sentence, and this is actually kind of beautiful. The shit before it, decidedly not beautiful. The boy laid down and wrapped himself around his childhood friend and love of his life. Ah, with one final sigh of contentment, gross, and a smile on his face, the boy closed his tired old eyes for the last time. He dies on the tree that he just fucked.
With a huge boner.
And was fucked by Thank You Giving Tree / Fiction.
Did he fuck the tree to death? Did he? That was just his last.
He fucked it in half.
Did he? Is this his last? His last action?
Author's note. To enhance your reading experience of my tale of love and reconciliation, I suggest that you listen to Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah while reading.
Oh,
I heard there was a secret tree that you could fuck.
And all your childhood memories are dead. Because I listened to a podcast try to sell me snacks.
Oh, no. Well, that was a fun sponsorship partnership that we had for a while.
Goodbye, Nature Box.
So Hulu, you all know Hulu, right? It's where you can see images that will wash away the images that you currently have in your head. But HuluPlus.com will do an even better job of laundering your mind with a bunch of... they got a bunch of current season episodes of shows like Modern Family and The Daily Show. And you can watch every episode of South Park only on HuluPlus. That's amazing.
I mean, Teresa and I use it for like Bob's Burgers and... when new episodes of stuff come out, and we watch it all the time, especially since we moved and we're still getting everything set up, so it's really pretty awesome. I love Hulu Plus.
Me too.
I love it, and they mean a lot to me.
It's the only way that I watch ANTM Cycle 21. Boys still in that house. Still a lot of boys in that house, though.
Boys have not been removed from the
boys
house.
Have not been removed. That man still wears a fucking beard weave. And then this week they did DNA tests and found out, like, oh, you are 1/100th of a 15,000th of a percent Eastern European. So that's what I'm going to make you dress up as.
Yes, they had people dress up at your 1/1 bajillionth Native American. Now put on this headdress and inexplicably pose with a gay bald robot. I'm not making this up.
And Tyra was like, yeah, it's no big deal. In the future, all of our races will merge to become one. Okay, Okay. And mm-hmm. also, we will all be part artificial intelligence.
What?
Sorry,
is there a producer of this show that steps back after every episode airs and goes, was that not enough?
Was it not enough?
What does it take to get this show canceled?
They had this week they had this is all on Hulu Plus, by the way, so you should be watching Hulu
Plus. It's a fever dream. Hulu Plus injects you with a fever dream for 48 minutes a week.
It's $8 a month. Right now you can get a two-week free trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/mybrother. You can get an extra week for free. So go do that.
And they have tons of original content, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's the Awesomes. Seth Meyers and Mike Shoemaker made a show called The Awesomes about misfit superheroes. They got 10 episodes of season one. And season two, well, it says here it's premiering August 4th, so let's say that it's probably already up and cooking.
And they have shows like East Los High and Real Housewives. The Hot Wives of Orlando, which is a parody of the Real Housewives series. Tons of stuff. Go check it out. Okay, back to Griffin.
So they had this week. They had two gentlemen. One of them had been sort of making some homophobic comments, and the other gentleman was a gay man who had been offended by said comments. So they've been sort of beefing. Then Tyra reveals to them. In, like, it's supposed to be a gigantic twist that they're both kind of Finnish.
Yeah, you guys, and there's so much more that connects us than divides us. For instance, you're 200ths of a trillionth of a percent Finnish, and you are 400 trillionths Swedish, and those are close together. And they were
the gentleman
hug it out,
crying?
Hug it out, my brother. There were, like, three people of different races and ethnic backgrounds who were like, guys, you're all barely Asian. And one dude was like, I knew it.
Yeah, and also it gave a lot of them instant permission to start using, like, really racist accents. Like this guy's like, I always thought that I was just Italian and Native American. And now I'm the Latin lover.
Yeah.
Like,
he actually said, I'm Zorro. Like, dog, dial it back. This is cycle 22. We're calling it Dial It Back. I think we might just have you guys smile while we take pictures of you for a while.
Could you all just model for one episode?
Can you just smile and let me take a fucking picture of you without spitting into a cup and having scientists analyze it? What are we doing? Boys are in the house, and so is just, like, unadulterated lunacy. Fuck. Cycle 21. I have a message for Alexandra Splendor, and it's from Maria Babin, or Bebin, who says to Alexandria Splendor, "Ah, man, it says Rita's Amelie, so I have to pump the brakes and let Justin."
No. Let Griffin read it.
No, I just can't. I don't do voices. That's not my thing.
Happy 21st birthday, AJ. You're the friend I always had but never spoke to until the time the universe decided to send us to Italy. You deserve all the happiness that exists in this crazy world. Sir, you're the best. I don't know what I'd do without our dance parties, endless laughs, and drunken times in Rome. I love you, Glass Shark.
Why do people want that? That's
God,
the creepiest
that makes me so
shit.
Fucking horny.
Oh no, part. I can't.
It does.
It
got
can't.
A message
Gives
here
me
for
so
Travis
chills.
McElroy.
Hold on, start Wait, this over.
It's a message for Travis McElroy. And it's from Spencer.
Oh, man.
And the message is, hi, Travis, from Spencer. And
hi,
the preferred
Spencer.
The preferred time frame for this to air is whenevs.
That was like $100.
Money well spent, Spencer. That's
so well
pretty
spent.
Can I say?
Yeah.
It was the best greeting card I've ever received.
Yeah, see? But we can't reuse it. It's the unfortunate part. There's no.
I can, too.
There's no resale market for Jumbotrons.
Trav, one more message.
One more message.
Got a message for the brilliant and delightful Lindsay Previtt from her friend and former traveling companion, Liz. Thank you so much for being great company and comforting me on so many long and arduous book tours. I will miss it all, but especially the bliss of hanging out in airport bars with you, watching soccer, and listening to Mabim Bam together. You are, and always will be, the greatest.
Oh my gosh. I love how
beautiful and shit.
That whoever wrote that should be a writer.
Should be a writer of novels and autobiographies.
Yeah. That's our friend Liz Gilbert. Hi, Liz. And that was her message.
Mark your calendars for a brand new thing. The first ever Max Fun Week is coming up, October 15th through 21st. Max Fun Week's all about celebrating the creativity and passion of our listeners. We'll have podcast crossovers, Q&As, behind-the-scenes tours, giveaways, and more. No fundraising, just awesome stuff for you. So tune into your favorite Max Fun shows, tell a friend about Max Fun, and check out some new shows during Max Fun Week, October 15th through 21st.
I made the mistake of reading this farm wisdom ahead of time, and it just bums me out. It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
wait, what, Griffin? Sorry, what did you say? Did you say
farm wisdom? Farm wisdom. Get your Pitchfork album recommendations. Farm wisdom.
Oh God! It's like, guys, you can send us farm wisdom. It's like, baby chicks are really soft. They're scientifically proven to be the softest thing on earth. That's great. Give me that.
Baby chicks love so hard that it hurts them.
No. Yes. Oh. Give me that. But don't give me, chickens only have one hole called a vent they use to poop, pee, lay eggs, and have sex.
That's simultaneously.
That's from Jason Cedar from Montana. Simultaneously, yes. They just sort of fucking explode down there.
It's a bad mess.
They have to schedule their whole day around it.
There's a lot of...
Can you come to my ballet recital, Dad? What time is it? 3? Hell no. Hell no, I can't.
I am booked every day at 3.
I can be there at 3:01. That's for goddamn sure. There's a lot of farmhouse sounds that I am, Griffin McElroy, am acquainted to. Maybe a moo or a baa or not like a... And that's the sound of chickens make.
Not again, not again.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, it's over with.
I wish it was dead.
I mean, it's over with and done.
They are dead for a second.
I'm done for like a whole day, but oh my God, it never gets any easier. I need a minute.
I don't have a minute. I gotta get to my daughter's ballet recital.
There was a lot of stuff coming and going just then. Wowzers.
If you're on Survivor, you can use chicken mess to start a fire.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's all so messy. What do we call it? What are we classifying as the mess?
It's everything. The poop, pee, eggs, whatever.
The sex.
The CX. is there another one here?
Yeah, there's another one.
Farm wisdom?
Fact.
Hit me.
Can you believe there are people who don't like the farm wisdom segment?
People are fools.
It enriches me cosmically. Fact, in cold climates, cows love hanging out on top of manure piles because the fermentation going on inside puts off a lot of heat, and that's from Jonathan. Jonathan, who I hope is not intimately familiar with poop heat, with the radiation of this situation.
I bet at least one of those cows is just a dirty bird.
I mean, they're all
dirty birds.
It's like,
yeah, it's warm here, right? I know, it's so gross. I would hate to do this before.
There's a lot of different kinds of heat right now. I'm like exhausted from making my chicken vent noise. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Absolutely.
This Yahoo was sent in by Jesse Marciano. Thank you, Jesse. Marciano? I'm sorry I'm so bad at names, everybody. It's by Yahoo Answers user Munyara, who asks, do you believe in the power of runes?
No.
Do you believe in runes? And what will happen to you if you carry a rune or runes in your pocket? Does it have an effect on your life? I wonder if I will benefit from it. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. What a great, like, mouthfeel-pleasing word.
Runes.
You know, this is a thing. I'm going to real talk here for a second. I think the reason stuff like this upsets me so much is when people talk about like crystals and runes and stuff is because there was a period of my life where I wanted this kind of thing to be true so hard.
Mm-hmm. When you were jerking it to Xanth?
Yeah. I mean, when I was like from age like 12 to like 17, where it's like, please, Matt, please,
Crystal, do something. Please, Crystal, do anything.
I want Loch Ness Monster to be real. I want there to be runes and crystals.
You
I
had some fucking
to be a thing.
You had a box of crystals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I wanted it to be real, Griffin. I believed it so hard. And now I look back on that, Travis, and I'm like, fuck. Fuck that dude.
Well, I mean, are you mad at yourself or are you mad at those fucking crystals for not producing...
I mean, isn't that the case? Like, the thing is, it's like Ebenezer Scrooge. I need like three crystal ghosts to come and teach it. Like, remember when you love crystals, Travis? Take my crystal in hand. Fly with me to Xanth.
I'm going to show you the future of crystals. Still nothing. They're still not doing shit. They're still just nothing. They're still just kind of like pretty translucent rocks. And that's great. I mean, that be into that if you want to be into anything.
I'm the crystalline ghost of the present. Still just crystals.
For a while, I thought at that same age range, I thought I was had psychic powers.
Oh, sure. No, when I look back at like my primary school career, I have a lot of regrets. But I think the number one regret is that I wish I wouldn't have fucking tried to move so much shit with my mind while I was just sort of standing in the hall. I think that was probably number one on the list when I was working safety patrol and making sure the kids got home from school. I wish I had stopped like trying to move leaves around with my hand from far away. I think
that could have significantly improved your profile.
Within the school, for sure.
You were weird leaf wavy Griffin.
But you know what? It's a gamble because if that shit had worked once,
mm-hmm. It only takes one.
It only takes the one time, doesn't it?
I actually have a very clear memory of talking to Mom about my belief that I had psychic abilities. And then I described to her, I said, here, let me prove it. I described to her a gentleman who I believed had come into her office, like suit color, hair color, the whole thing. I have a crystal clear memory of Mom absolutely dodging whether or not a gentleman matching that exact description entered her office on that day. I knew what was up. She definitely, in retrospect, did not say, no, that didn't happen. She kind of changed the subject. I think she was scared.
When we turned 15 and 18, respectively, and you got like a big birthday party, and I was like, well, why is 18 so important? And Mom's response was, when you turn 18, you'll find out. And my immediate thought process was, oh shit, you get magic powers at 18.
And they just you do. I mean, you get the magic power of political enfranchisement, you get the magic power of smoking legally, you get the magical power of just like buying like physical pornography, which is like, I mean, basically the worst magic power at this point.
But isn't that like so like because of Harry Potter and shit like Xanth and other kind of like where it's like there's this whole other world of magic going on and only the people that truly believe, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. So I'm just gonna really truly believe over here for a second and just wait for that to start.
I mean, people wouldn't be writing about this magic shit if it wasn't a little bit real.
Like, it's gotta come from somewhere. What, did we just make it up?
I'll just buy the one rune and just carry it around in my pocket for a while and see how it feels. And if you're out there fucking casting dispersions, I want you to go into your closet and I want you to open that deep, dark secret box that you have that, like, magnetic copper bracelet in that, like, moves your fucking energons around in your wrist to heal your diabetes. And then I want you to come back and listen to the rest of the podcast. Hey, you back? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Guess he told you.
I guess I told you, Mr. Magnetic Bracelet, everybody on fucking Earth had. Because Dr. Drew was like, guys, you got to get down on these magnet bracelets. Moves your energons around in such a pleasing manner.
There will probably be a Max Fun meetup at 25. Oh, Max Fun Week is coming up. This is a good segue with this
talking question. Talking about bonkers people who believe in magnet therapy.
No. Well, I think Max Fun listeners believe in magic. Hopefully. I like to
speaking of, if you're interested in this kind of stuff, check out Ono, Ross, and Kara in the Max Fun Network. They cover this kind of stuff across the
Max
board.
Max Fun, what's that? That sounds like a network podcast.
Max Fun Network? That kind of sounds like a network. What do you
sounds like
more?
Some kind of hive mind of comedy.
What are you trying to sell me?
Max Fun Week is coming up. We have a question about Max Fun Week. Let me just tell you real quick, Max Fun Week, October 15th through the 21st. Oh my God, that's a coming up. We got a bunch of activities. There's a trivia day. There's a day to leave reviews collectively, collective review day. There's all kinds of fun stuff. We'll talk about it more here in a little bit. But there's going to be a ton of meetups for everybody to get together with other Max Fun listeners, and you can find one in your area and go enjoy it.
So question.
There will probably be a Max Fun Week meetup, a 25-minute drive away from our home. But my husband doesn't want to go because it's a Sunday night. How can I convince my husband that it's okay to occasionally go out on a school night, even though it might mess up our chore schedule? And that's from No Semi Spontaneity in New Jersey. Do you guys do this?
Yeah, here's the thing. It does feel like when you hit a certain age, okay, so when you hit like 18 and on, the school night thing kind of goes away, and you're like, fuck it, I got class tomorrow, I don't care, I'm just going to sleep 3 hours and I'll be fine.
Why would you sound like that?
Because that's how I sounded in college, because I had so many runes in my pockets, I couldn't move very quickly.
Trav's coming. Here he comes, he's like a magic maraca.
Ah, shit, it's the crystal guy. But then, like, you hit a certain point again where you're like, I have to do shit tomorrow. I think it's like at, like, 27, 28, where you're like, I gotta do stuff tomorrow. I don't really want to go out tonight. And it's like you hit that kind of invincible, I don't need any sleep age.
Mm-hmm.
I do that now.
There's a definite risk here, though. Once you open up this lamp, once you let the genie out of this one, where
another thing I always wish for, go on.
where you realize, like, hey, wait a minute, I went out tonight. I went out on a night when I have to work tomorrow. I could do this every night. We had a time period where we were playing trivia in a bar, and it started out as like a weekly thing, and then we found out that there were like trivia nights in other bars. So we started going like a couple times and then three times. And then there didn't need to be trivia. We just should be at a bar. And then all of a sudden we were a sitcom because we were at a bar every single night. And you kind of realize, like, wait a minute. I've been at a bar every day this week.
Was it?
That would be a great scene in a sitcom if they sat down at the end of the week and, like, we're going through receipts. We're just like, honey, we spent $600 at a bar this week.
I have to point out an important distinction, though, Juice. And was it different bars that you were going to every night, or was it the same bar?
No, it was different bars.
Okay, that's not what happens.
Different bars and a Hooters.
That's not what happens in sitcoms, though, where people just like show up to bars like, oh man, same clowns, different circus, and it's like, guys, go home. Just go. If How I Met Your Mother, instead of just going to McLaren's in each episode, they were just like going to different bars because of some sort of unnatural compulsion. I don't know. That's not a sitcom. That's a sit bum.
I think that having a night where you make a bad decision, like, hey, I'm going to stay out too late on a night when I have to work, just makes you appreciate and help break up the mundanity of all those other nights when you don't misbehave.
I would also like to point out that the Max Fun meetup started 7 p.m. I mean, I don't want to like throw shade and pass judgment here.
You fucking Wilford Brimley motherfucker. Maybe you should just go out.
You could go out,
but
you could go out, stay out for 3 hours, and still be home by 10.
But 7:30 is when I watch Two Broke Girls and I start molting. I start the molting process at 7:30 when Two Broke Girls comes on. I love that show. It's my favorite show to molt to. I can't wait to be dead. Thank you for listening to our show. I'm sorry I said all that stuff.
That's going to be our program, but we wanted to remind you, I mean, we alluded to it before, Max Fun Week kicks off this Wednesday, and there's a ton of really fun stuff happening.
Great. All right, Trav. Yeah, I'm just going to run through the schedule real quick. If you go to MaximumFun.org/MaxFunWeek, it's all on there. It's broken down by the day. You can also follow MaxFunHQ on Twitter, and they'll run you through everything. But basic schedule, Wednesday, October 15th is Max Fun Trivia Day. Max Fun HQ is going to be tweeting out different trivia questions, and if you're the first person to answer each question correctly, you'll be entered in a drawing. On Thursday, October 16th, is Leave a Review Day, so we're encouraging everyone to go on iTunes and rate and review and just kind of get the word out about the show and talk about it on iTunes. You can also tweet iTunes Podcast And tell them thank you for hosting the shows and all of that, and tell them how great they are. On Friday, October 17th, it's immediate summary judgment day. So John Hodgman superfans and pop culture experts will really love this one. They'll post an audio clip.
I think we can just say humans instead of human beings. John Hodgman superfans.
Human beings will really like this one. They'll post an audio clip of one of John Hodgman's signature interpretations of cultural artifacts, and it's up to you to guess the reference. And the first correct answer gets entered in drawing for prizes. And so on Saturday, October 18th, if you listen to our Adventure Zone episode, and if you didn't, go do that, please. But if you did, then you'll be really interested in this one. We played D&D and stuff. But what they're asking for is for people to draw, paint, sculpt, whatever medium you choose to work in, representations of the characters we played. And the winning artist will get a 5th edition D&D Player's Handbook signed by all three of us. So if that's something you're into, then there's a great opportunity. If not, it's just a fun way to show off your art to people.
We'll put that shit on character sheets, too. Fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. And I assume that's something you're going to either send to us or send to Max Fun HQ. But if you send it to us, we promise we'll get it to the right place.
I won't.
Griffin won't. Just send it to me. So Sunday 19th, this is what we were talking about earlier. It's Max Fun Meetup Day. And all over the world, we're encouraging people to set up meetups and start at 7 p.m. local time. If you want to host a meetup, you just pick a place and then contact Jennifer at MaximumFun.org and we'll spread the word. And just real quick, I want to run through some of them. There's a bunch in Canada, two in Alberta, one in Nova Scotia, one in France, one in Turkey.
What the fuck? Is there one in Japan?
I will look. There's one in Phoenix, one in Los Angeles, one in Oakland. There's one in Los Angeles that's just for like families. It's during the day on the 19th, on the 18th. That's hosted by One Bad Mother, so check that out. One in DC, one in Champaign, one in Chicago, one in Ann Arbor, one in Minneapolis, one in Missouri, one in Brooklyn, one in Manhattan, one in Asheville, one in Charlotte, one in Cleveland, one in Columbus, one in Portland, one in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, one in Houston, one in Seattle. Cincinnati's gonna have one. Cincinnati doesn't have one. So one, I'm really disappointed in you, Cincinnati. I'm looking at you, Kyle Ross.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, Kyle Ross. Host one in Cincinnati, you fool. Get one in Huntington, Justin.
I got a baby.
So set those up and go hang out. I've been to a couple. They're always fun to be around other people who love the thing that you love. It's a great way to make new friends in your city or just get together and kind of have a fun evening talking about stuff that you feel comfortable talking about.
Also, Max Fun fans are like the fucking coolest people.
Yeah, they're like the best people.
We're the most uncomfortable, like socially speaking, human beings on Earth, and I still have a great time every time I meet people in Max Fun community. So
on Monday, October 20th is Share Your Favorite Episode Day. So whether it's the funniest, the most interesting, or anything like that, just tweet it out, go on Reddit, talk about it on the Max Fun forums, whatever you want to do. Just get the word out and tell all your friends about the episode. Share a link to it. It's just a day to kind of say, hey, I've never mentioned this to you before, or maybe I've mentioned it to you like a bajillion times, but today's the day, go check it out. And then on Tuesday, October 21st is Max Fun Rocket Coloring Contest. So they'll post a line drawing of the signature Max Fun Rocket, you color it in, and the winning artist will get a prize. So it's really just a day about celebrating you, the fans. We've also got Ask Me Anything coming up on we're doing it on Thursday, October 16th. From 12 to 1 Pacific time. I don't know what time that is. Eastern. What are you guys on? Eastern time?
Hollywood Travis McElroy.
That's that old shit. But yeah, come hang out with us and ask us questions. You can literally ask us anything not about poop. But there's AMAs every day of that week. You could talk to Dave Holmes. You can talk to the ladies from Lady to Lady. Talk to Throwing Shade. Everybody's got one. Jesse and Jordan have one. Our new shows, Destination DIY, Baby Geniuses, they are going to have some on there. Flophouse has one on there. We're adding new shows, new awesome people, and this is a really great time to get to know them. So go to MaximumFun.org/MaxFunWeek for all of the AMA schedules and all of the schedules of all the dates. Trust me, you're going to dig it.
We're also doing crossover episodes. Next week, we have a very honorable guest on the show, John Hodgman. So that's going to be great. And then I think
And we're going to be on other shows too, so go check that out.
Yes.
Also wanted to say real quick, that first day, October 15th, if you're in the LA area, you should go see Bullseye live. They're going to have Dan Harmon, Steve AG, Andy Kindler. So I don't know.
Rob Corddry.
Or AG. Yeah, Rob Corddry. And Travis will be there.
I will be there.
Not doing anything, but if you want to meet Travis, he'll be there.
You should.
And it's in a Masonic lodge in the middle of a graveyard.
Yeah. That'll go to MaximumFun.org. You can find a link for tickets there.
And after the show, NPR is giving everyone free beer. So, I mean, if that's not cause enough to go, I don't know what is.
Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed.
Thank you to Nature Box, where you can order great-tasting, wholesome snacks. Go to naturebox.com/mybrother. Sign up to get your own free sampler box of these great-tasting, wholesome snacks. That's going to do it for us. My brother, and Griffin, do you have one last question for us?
One final one that was sent in by Michelle Dobosh. Thank you, Michelle. It's by Yahoo Answers user Mr. Kozik, who asks, is Joe Pesci really a maniac?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier, host of Destination DIY. It's a show about people taking matters into their own hands, and we're really excited to be bringing it to Maximum Fun.
You know, having that experience of I can do that makes me feel like I can almost do anything.
Here at Destination DIY, we like to push the do-it-yourself envelope beyond crafts and home improvement. So tune in to hear the stories of makers, builders, inventors, and all kinds of creative people.
You can essentially build a do-it-yourself space program today, and now, luckily, I'm part of that.
Check out Destination DIY at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.